Great. Well, thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Working Group call on the 28th of March, 2017 at 3 o'clock UTC. In the interest of time today, there will be no roll calls. We have quite a few participants online. Attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room. So if you're only on the audio bridge, would you please let yourself be known now? Great, thank you. And as a reminder, all participants, please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. And please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn the call back over to Audrey Doria.
Okay, thank you. And hello to everyone. And welcome to our first meeting after the face-to-face. And thank you all for being here. Okay, so going through, that was a welcome, going through to the review of the agenda. First, we'll do the SLI check. Then we'll do a debrief on the ICANN 58 sessions, look for some work trial updates, and especially just get views from people who were there. It's kind of hard sitting in the chair spot to do, so it would be really good to hear from other people how you thought it went. Then we'll do a brief update on CC2, where it's at and getting distributed and such. Then the main substance of the meeting will be item 5, which is the review of the recommendations from CCTRT. There was a brief discussion of it in our last meeting in Copenhagen, but we need to start taking a deeper look into it. And then finally, just to talk about the CC1 status, the next steps, find out what's happening with any of the subgroups and how they're doing, or whether they've gotten started, or what we need to start them, and then any other business. Does anybody have any other business at this point that they'd want to add? Okay, I'll ask again at the end. Is the agenda fine? Any amendments to it? Corrections? Nope. Okay, so we'll go with this agenda. Moving on to SOIs. Does anybody have an SOI they wish to update before we go on with this meeting? Seeing none, okay. Just want to remind everybody that if you do have a material change in your employment or circumstances around ICANN, please update your SOI and please let us know at the beginning of a meeting, especially if it affects this group and new GTLDs or anything like that. Once again, want to check, has anybody joined who's just on the phone and not in the room? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on to the debrief. So we had quite a few meetings there, not only the major ones, the 3-hour, and we had meetings with GAC, we had meetings with all kinds of the GDD and others. So one of the things I wanted to do is first get each of the work teams to sort of go through and just give a quick update on, did you catch anything, you know, were there any good indications? Was there something that will move the work ahead? Or is there something that perhaps, you know, was a trouble sign ahead? Hopefully you don't mind me calling on you. I don't remember us actually talking about me doing this at our leadership meeting. But if you'll indulge me, is there someone from Work Team 1, who would like to go ahead? Yes, Sarah, please. Thanks.
Yes, this is Sarah Bakke, for the record. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you fine.
Great. So we had, during ICANN 58, we did a deep dive on a few topics, and so we had discussed the RSP program and clarity of application process. and coughing. And those are the topics that we'll be covering tomorrow when we meet at 1500 UTC for our Work Track 1 meeting. And so we're just going to briefly have a recap on what was discussed and see if we can do a little deeper dive on some of the topics that were raised and suggestions and ideas that came up during that.
Okay, thanks. Any questions? Any comments? Anyone else pick up anything on the subjects in WT1 that they would like to feedback? Yes, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. Not necessarily on just Work Track 1, but overall, I noticed that it seemed like the subsequent procedures and the next application window are seemingly getting much more interest. And so we may likely have additional volunteers participating and increased attendance because it's now starting to get, you know, now that the transition, the IANA transition is behind us, I think this may be one of the next topics to garner some additional interest. So I think certainly we may see some new faces participate and, you know, hopefully we won't have to rehash some of the topics we've sort of moved beyond, but I will say that I seem to see much more interest and also want to encourage everyone to look at the calendar that we have, and so hopefully someone from ICANN staff could publish the link of that calendar again so that you could see about a month in advance what topics are coming up on the next few calls to make sure that if you're interested in those topics or you know of others interested in those topics, that you can show up for those. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Good bit of something. And, in fact, one of the things that we'll mention when we get to CC2, but I'll say it now and then say it again then, is as those extra folks from your constituencies and your stakeholder groups look to get involved, a great place to start them is on trying to answer some of the CC2 questions that we've got, and that will also help them get up to speed on issues that are being talked about. Moving to Work Track 2, is either Philip or Michael?
Hello, Avi. Michael Fleming here. I will take the Work Track 2. So ICANN 58 was, we had a lot of feedback in regards to CC2 topics. Pretty much some topics that we've covered up until now. So hopefully with the CC2 will provide some additional input in regards to what we have covered. But more so than that, our plans for the upcoming few calls is rather than doing a recap, is actually to keep heading in a new direction. We will be looking at a continued, not entirely new, but we'll be looking at a continued discussion of closed generics. This is a topic that is has a lot that we need to look at, and we're going to be looking at the pros and cons and trying to look at the potential harm of what closed generics might bring and whether or not there actually is any potential harm. So I look forward to having everyone on our call this Thursday at 21 UTC. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. Any other comments or questions, anything anybody noticed about the Work Track 2 topics that they wanted to add at this point? Really trying to make this as much a debrief, as it were, as in addition to just an update that we all would do. No? Okay, then we'll move to Work Track 3, and that's either Robin or Krista. I'm not sure. Yes, Robin, please.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, thanks.
Okay, great. So at our last meeting, just before ICANN 58, we finished up the string confusion objections and the similarity issues. We introduced the topic on community applications. And so at our next meeting on April 4th, we're going to dive right deeply into community objections and discuss the community applications and community priority applications. So that's what's coming up next, and that'll be about a week and a half discussion according to what we've got planned for that.
Okay, thank you. Yes, Jeff.
Actually, this is Jeff. I'll yield to Karen, and then if I still have a question, I will go after her. But I will yield to Karen.
Oh, yeah. I got it backwards with the names before. Yes, please, Karen. Karen? Am I the only one that doesn't hear Karen? Karen, I don't think we can hear you. I don't know if you can hear me. You may be having trouble with your phone. Nope, nobody can hear you. For a while, I thought I'd lost connectivity again. So Karen can hear me. Please type. You're typing. And Jeff, you may want to. You want to wait until Karen's typed, or do you want to go ahead with it? She says, go on, Jeff. She will type her update.
Okay, sure. One of the things coming out of ICANN 58, especially with the government, was certainly an increased focus on the European Union's commissioned study on communities. And I think there were a number of recommendations that came out of within that report. I'm not sure if those recommendations have full support of the government, but certainly I think we should do a little bit more of a deep dive into those recommendations to at least respond to them, as I'm sure that the government will expect that we address what's in that report. I will say that it also came out that, you know, there could have been additional interviews done for those reports, and it seemed to be focused on some of the applicants that did not or that are still waiting for delegation. So, or even before that, waiting for selection. They're still in the review process or the accountability processes. So I think that CC2 questions with regard to communities and experiences which went out to not just which are going out, I guess, to all applicants. Hopefully soon we'll get an update on that. They'll be able to type in their experiences. And I think Karen just reiterated that in the chat. So topic of interest from both the PDP session and the GAC are the community applications and the report that I just referenced. And after WorkTrack 4, Avery, if you could let me kind of just give, or we both should give an update on the geonames, what's going on
okay,
with that.
Certainly. Yep. Okay, thanks. And one thing I would want to add on the reserve name side is I'm remote attending the IETF this week, and the discussions continue going on about their special names and delegation for their special names. So at one point, I want to bring that subject into our discussions to make sure that we've looked at that particular issue. I don't want to get into the details now, but I just want to mark that as an issue. And Karen, I apologize for not remembering which group you were one of the co-leads of. I'm scrambled brains this evening. That's right, that would be for special. Well, it's hard to be sure where that one will fall, but anyway. Okay, so it would be two. Okay, moving on to work track four, which is either Cheryl or Rubens. I don't see Rubens' name. So, Cheryl, can you comment?
I certainly can, Avery. Cheryl Engdon, all for the record. And Rubens and I didn't feel that there was any particularly new revelations coming out of our discussion with the plenary on Work Track 4, but it did reaffirm the work team views on the topics, which included IDNs, the financial and technical checks, and, of course, name collisions, which we are, the last one, name collisions, we are going to be continuing to work on in our call next week. One thing I did want to mention, however, was that we were quite, I think, happy to have some of our CC2 questions edited and pruned down. I think that was a very worthwhile exercise, and I think that will make it easier for people to respond to our work track four questions in CC2, and also that we took the opportunity with my attendance, along with Avery indeed, at what was called the Asia Pacific APAC space, which is a meeting of all stakeholders out of Asia Pacific and Oceania that we have at face-to-face meetings and intersessionally. And at that, while Avery was encouraging more people to join all the work tracks, I did make the point that, of course, if you have an interest in IDNs, which one would assume a larger number of people out of the APAC geo region would have, that they're more than welcome to join us in Work Track 4. And I think that's it from Rubens and I. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions or extra comments or anything they've noticed with regard to Work Track 4 at the meeting? Okay, hearing, seeing none. As Jeff mentioned, I'll start off. The geo names at the top level, when we were able to keep the discussion about the top level, was something that got talked about quite a bit in Copenhagen, and we're well on our way to organizing a special session on that in Johannesburg, and in preparation for that, we'll be having a webinar. I believe is it the 27th or the 25th? I'm not really great about remembering dates. Like tonight, I'm not really great about remembering anything. But at the 25th, thanks. And before that, we've put out a call for expressions of interest, both of people that plan to attend, so that we can figure out how big a room we need, and we'll be doing this twice, but also for people that have a issue to present, a solution to present, an argument to present on geonames, so that hopefully we can get everybody sort of understanding all the different points of view there are on the decks before we get to Johannesburg. So there's been a call that's come out. Please, if you plan to attend it, sign up. And if you have a position on these, especially a well-formed position, please volunteer to put together one of the presentations. Jeff, was there anything you wanted to add on it? Emily has put the URL for the webinar in the chat. Jeff, was there anything you wanted to add on this?
Yeah, thanks, Aubrey. This is Jeff Newman. I would just add that we need to be very clear with whoever we talk to that we're talking about the top level, as Aubrey was clear in her explanation. There certainly was a lot of discussion between the GAC and the GNSO and the board on second level geographic designations, and Certainly that made their, within the GAC communique, very controversial. We are not talking about that at the second level. We are only talking about the top level. So Avery and I and others, the ICANN staff, we have our work cut out for us to make sure that the webinar is not, both webinars and the face-to-face are not hijacked, if you will, to discuss the second-level issues. And that's not to say that those issues aren't important. They are. But we really want to keep focused on the top level for these particular sessions as they relate to the next application window. So if you haven't seen the invitation, go out or haven't sent it around your different communities, please look at what Emily has posted and send it out to everyone. Everyone's invited to submit a contribution. And we had heard some rumblings at the ICANN meeting toward the end of it. Some groups didn't feel like they were specifically invited. And we're not going around specifically sending invitations to anyone in particular. It's to everyone. And so anyone that wants to add to a contribution, they can. Obviously, if we get, you know, a huge amount of contributions that are all similar, Avery and I and the leadership teams will work on making sure that all of the views are presented during the webinars in the best possible way. So please go out to your communities, talk about this. It's really, especially for Johannesburg, it's going to be an actual working session to try to come up with some sort of go-forward compromise position. So we're going to try it out, and hopefully it'll work in a true multi-stakeholder, bottom-up kind of session. Thanks.
Thanks. One thing I want to add to what Jeff just said, it's everybody's invited. Nobody is on a list of names that we're going to go out and invite specifically. However, if you run into someone who basically seems that they absolutely need a personal invitation in order to be able to submit, and I have encountered people over time that don't like just having group invitations and need a personal. So if anyone that any of you believe should be making one of these presentations and isn't volunteering, please let either Jeff or I know, and we'll reach out to them, you know, just sort of saying, hey, would you like to submit? So while we're not going to do that in any specific sense, if there's any possible presenter that needs that bit of encouragement, please let us know so that we can do it. Anybody else want to add anything on this geo name? I guess another thing I want to add, while this one will not be about second-level names, I am not sure that at the end of the day, not in Johannesburg, but beyond, we will completely escape that subject. Anyone have a comment? No. Okay, in which case, I can move on to CC2 status. I'll start, and then I'll ask either Emily or Steve or Julie. Probably Emily, since she's been handling it for the last week, to fill in anything I've left out. So the initial distribution was sent out the way we've been doing, we did for CC1, basically to the SO, SG, I mean AC, stakeholder groups and constituencies, leaders, and a comment period has been open. So basically took both approaches on this one to make sure that we got as wide distribution. That we have reached out to the global stakeholder engagement people to help us both with making sure that the questions reach as wide an audience as possible, but also the news of the webinar. And there's a translation ongoing at the moment on the CC2 questions, and once those translations are done, those two will be at a to the comment period. Emily or Steve or Julie, anything you want to add to that? Okay. Oh, yes. Thank you, Emily. I see your hand.
Thanks, Aubrey. This is Emily Barabas from staff. Just a couple of more things to highlight. We're also promoting CC2 as well as the GeoNames webinar in the regional newsletters to try to get some geographic diversity in our responses and also in our attendance to the webinar. And we'll be sending out, I think this was mentioned at the beginning of the call, but we're going to be sending out a notice to applicants from the first round about CC2, hopefully at the end of this week, to invite them to respond and share their experiences about the application process. And I think that is everything. Just checking my notes. Yeah. Oh, and also just general promotion through social media channels and websites throughout ICANN to make sure that people know about both the webinar as well as CC2. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. And yes, I had forgotten to mention about the 2012 applicants. Thanks for bringing it up. Yes, Jeff, I see your hand.
I just wanted to thank ICANN staff for getting this done so quickly. And, I think the work they've done has been incredible. So I just want to thank you guys for getting that out so quickly after the meeting. And then to encourage everyone to go back to their stakeholder groups, constituencies, advisory committees, supporting organizations, and please make sure that they respond. It's not short questionnaire, as you all know, but please, if you can, start spreading the word about preparing a response to this. That would be fantastic as the responses are due around May 1st. So that seems like a lot of time, but that'll catch up with everyone. And then also to remind everyone that if a certain subject does not impact your group, then you don't have to respond to it. Don't feel like you have to respond to every single question. Thanks.
Okay. Yep, thank you. And short answers are fine. So if you only have a short answer, don't feel that you need to write an essay. Okay, any questions about CC2? Any other comments on the CC2 update? And really do thank everybody, the work track leaders, especially for gathering the questions and for being really quite pleasant about massive editing that was done over the period to get them out, and very much appreciate the effort that they put in as well. A lot of effort went into those, so hopefully a lot of effort will go into answering them. And I really meant, if there are people that you want to bring into this from your constituency, stakeholder groups, advisory committees, or supporting organizations, please, it's a great place to start them on basically answering those questions, especially if they have the knowledge of what's pertinent to your own particular group. Michael asks, have any comments been submitted yet? I don't know. I wasn't optimistic enough to go check. Never even occurred to me to go check yet. I'd be surprised. But I can check during the next part of this. Okay, if there's nothing else on CC2, move on to item 5. Which is the review of recommendations from CCPRT, and we had a set of perhaps 10. Steve says no comments have been received yet. And I'll turn it over to Jeff now, who charitably offered to take this section of the meeting. So, Jeff, the floor is yours.
Yep, thanks. This is Jeff Newman for the transcript, and I believe we have some PowerPoint slides to display as well. That should have it on there. So while that's coming up, just to remind everyone, the CCT review team was chartered under the old affirmation of commitments, and which is now subsumed into the bylaws, about looking at consumer choice, competition, trust, and also to look at issues on the application process. So ultimately, they come out with their interim report with a number of recommendations, either for future items for ICANN as an organization to act on, or future work that they're recommending being done by either our PDP group, the subsequent procedures, or by the RPM, the Rights Protection Mechanisms Policy Development Process Working Group, and then a few recommendations which they put out there, which they weren't sure who would be addressing those items. And on those specific items, we are going to have a call with, we being the leadership of this group, will have a call with the leadership of the Rights Protection Mechanisms to come up with some recommendations to take back to our group as to who we think, which PDP group should tackle those questions. So for this call, what we're going to do is similar to what we did at the second or at the working session, the second and the last day, I think, of ICANN 58, which is to go through the recommendations, now that hopefully everybody's read the entire couple hundred page report, to go through the recommendations, to go through the recommendations, and it's the intent of this group to basically submit a comment to the CCT review team, not on the substance of the recommendations in terms of how we feel about, you know, whether there's competition, consumer choice, et cetera, but more on the work that was delegated to us, or we believe should be delegated to us, whether we have any clarification questions, or just an acknowledgement to say, yeah, we think that that's a good question, and that's either something we've already begun looking into, or that's a good question, that's not something we have started to look into, but something that we can look into. So with that background, let's go to the next. Or I don't know if everyone's got control of the slides, or if you want. Yeah, okay. So it's fine if everyone has control. If ICANN wants to just staff, if you want to give everyone control, that's fine. So the first one that was given to us was or recommended for us was recommendation 10. And forgive me, I'm going to actually be going back and forth between hard copy that I printed out in the old-fashioned way and this. So one more thing is that the CCT review team has prioritized each of the recommendations in kind of either two ways. Either it's prioritized as a prerequisite, meaning that this question or this subject needs to be addressed before we could open a new application window, or on a priority level, and the way that they set the priority levels was that if it was a high priority, then their recommendation is that that be implemented within 18 months of the issuance of the final report. If it's medium priority, it's within 36 months. If it's low priority, it just needs to be implemented prior to the next CCT review team. Now, with those high, medium, or low, what they said in the report is that it's not a none of those are prerequisites starting the next application window. Okay. So with that said, recommendation 10 is a recommendation of considering the costs of defensive registrations for the small number of brands registering a large number of domains, and basically considering how those costs could be reduced. So this was an interesting one in that it was recommended to either our group or the Rights Protection Mechanism. And according to the discussion we had in Copenhagen, while certainly the Rights Protection Mechanism working group deals with the issues of rights protection mechanisms themselves, pricing and costs related to registrations may not be something that's within their purview. So my guess is that that group will probably try to give us this recommendation. And for this recommendation, again, they're focusing on when they were looking through the Sunrise processes and just registrations in general, that although there were not many Sunrise registrations, there certainly were a small number of brands that registered in a large number of PLDs. And so this was an issue that they wanted us to see if any policy needed to be developed on ways in which those costs could be reduced. Michael says in the chat, will we be assigning these recommendations to individual work track, full working group, or do this want them a full working group? Great question, Michael. Don't know the answer to that yet. In fact, these are just interim recommendations, so they're not final yet. So if they look like they will be final recommendations, I think that's a great issue for us to consider going down that path. And it may be a hybrid approach whereby if there's certainly a topic that's specific to one work track, it may be given to that work track, but if it's an overall issue, then it might be something we address the full working group level. So no real answer to that, sorry, at this point. Okay, any other questions on this recommendation? Does anyone feel like we should ask for any clarity on this question? Okay, not seeing any, I'll go on to the next one. Recommendation 14 is a recommendation that basically says that incentives should be created to meet user expectations regarding the relationship of content of a GTLD to its name, restrictions as to who can register a name in certain GTLDs based upon implied messages of trust conveyed by the name of its GTLDs, especially in sensitive or regulated industries, and the safety and security of users' personal sensitive information. Now, this was listed as a prerequisite. And just to go into the use of the word content, which makes a lot of people nervous, according to an explanation from Jordan at the group, by content, what it means is that, you know, is the domain name registered in the TLD, is it really related to the TLD itself? So is there any kind of incentive for entities that are within that industry or niche to register within that TLD? And so one idea that they threw out there was, in theory, you could have lower application fees, or TLDs that commit to having certain restrictions or verification, et cetera. So this was something that we wanted our group to look into. So, Michael, you had your hand up. Was your question answered? I'm assuming it was answered then. Okay. So this is an interesting one. I'm not sure from a policy perspective we can necessarily have these types of incentives, but it's certainly something worth considering. And just as more background, if you read the full report, a lot of this came out of the, I want to say the Nielsen study, I think it was Nielsen that did the report that basically said that the content in the TLD was related to the string itself, more trust the public had in that top-level domain. So things like .bank, certainly high level of trust because of the restrictions put in place upon the who can register the domain and the enforcement and other aspects of it. In the for the third element of this, the safety and security of users' personal and sensitive information, there is a note in the text about looking at things like the new European regulation, which the name of it is escaping me right now, So there's some notes in the actual text to look at that as well. Just reading the comments, okay, in the chat. How much of this can we do from a policy standpoint is from Michael, and Frank says, that Jeff, correct, the study found a link between restrictions and level of trust. Great, and Aubrey, if I'm missing anything from the chat, just don't hesitate to, or anyone, to interrupt.
Certainly.
And yep, thanks. So,
and I have a comment from Donna saying that she's not sure that it is possible to, and then it's quoted, create incentives to encourage such things. So,
yeah, thanks, Donna. That's a point that I shared with the review team as well, you know, especially from a policy perspective, and the only thought that they had come up with, and this is in the full report as well, is providing some sort of monetary incentives of lower fees or something for those PLDs that have restrictions. But, you know, I'm not, you know, that's something we'll talk about if this recommendation does, in fact, come to our working group.
If I can add, this is Aubrey, if I can add, while it may not be possible, we will have to have a good response as to why it's not, and we'd have to have discussed it. This is the kind of thing that very much concerns me going forward, that any of these things that we look at and say, no, that's not something we're recommending in the policy, because we really need to make an effort to be quite clear and explicit about it in any final report. Thanks. And Michael,
you're up.
I was going to let it be, but I feel that now we're talking about it a bit more. I just wanted to kind of quickly point out that the way some of these recommendations are written, some of them use wording of consider, others are more of a direct a direction, or kind of like an order, if you will, if that, I guess that's the right English word for it. But in that sense, I think we need to be very careful about when we look at these and dissect these, we need to communicate what we can do with each recommendation, and whether or not that's a consideration or if we actually have to do something or we have to act upon it. I think how we can respond to these recommendations, I think it would do well to better communicate that to the full group. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. That's this is Jeff Newman. That's a great point. And so I do agree that we should figure out what the expectations are of the CCT review team as to whether they want us to consider these things, or if, like this one, number 14, is written in a very prescriptive, you should create incentives to encourage. So that's a good point that we should go back to them get their view on whether this is an instruction or whether we should consider the issue. Greg, please.
Thanks, Greg Chatton, for the record. We might want to consider having someone from the CCT review team come and talk with the group and go over kind of some of the thinking or perspective behind some of these recommendations, you know, divorced from any kind of underlying logic. They kind of lose, they seem rather unmoored or abstract. And just trying to think about this myself, you know, why does this make sense? Why would anybody say this? You know, it's kind of goes back to the idea that, you know, what they were looking at was, you know, consumer trust, competition, consumers, and the like. So presumably this has some basis in improving those things, or in, you know, findings that this is a way that things were falling short. So I think before we just kind of reject things out of hand, we have to kind of, you know, I think get some idea, ideally from the CCTRT, kind of how they arrived at these, why these make sense, and because there needs to be kind of a dialogue and kind of tossing recommendations over the wall at us and then us tossing back responses back over the wall is probably not the best way to deal with this. Thanks.
Thanks, thanks, Greg. Just to note, I think Jordan from the CCT review team was in the working session, and I know there were a lot of conflicting meetings at this past ICANN. I'd encourage everyone to go back and just read the transcript from the Wednesday afternoon meeting. I think it was Wednesday, not Thursday, but someone could correct me. Go back to the transcript, read those, and then there also is good background on each of these, not necessarily the questions themselves, but background on why they're asking some of these questions in the full CCT review team report. I know it's really long, and so I know it's a little daunting to read it, but there is some pretty good background. Let's make sure that I'm not disagreeing with the point of having a separate session with CCT review team members and possibly maybe even for the next call, but just to make sure that when we do go into that session that we've read everything, so we're not just pretty much asking them questions that we have the answers for. So if I can't staff, let's see if we can get some potentially for the next full group call participation. Aubrey, I see you're on the...
This is Aubrey speaking. A couple things on this, and thank you for mentioning that we should go and read the parts of the report because they do go into more detail. I just wanted to remind us of the stages. I mean, at this stage, we're looking at questions and asking them to clarify. We will have a chance to respond to the questions when they come out with their draft. And I think at that point, I would actually say that would probably be the better point to have the in-depth discussions while we're developing responses as opposed to now while they're still developing the questions. But, you know, perhaps having one at our next meeting is good, but certainly having one after they've come out with their draft is good. We also need to remember that their report doesn't go to us, but it then goes to the board that has a certain obligation to act on it, and the board's action on it will be sent down, I assume, to the GNSO and to the group. So there's still a couple more stages that this goes in, a couple more stages where we can comment. Thanks.
Thanks, Aubrey. And I'm hoping by the time that this report is made final that, you know, for anything that we, any work assigned to us, we can start that work even before the board acts on it for many of the questions. So moving on to the next recommendation. Sorry, is there any other? Okay, the next recommendation, which is recommendation 33. Now, I've read this recommendation a number of times. I've actually, you know, read the report background on this a number of times, and I still have questions on this one. I don't think it's very clear at all as to why our group would be doing this. But I think what they're trying to get at from reading the report as well as from the previous discussions and background on this section is that they're trying to basically, there's a theory out there that says that those TLDs with restrictions would have, in general, more trust with the public than those that do not have restrictions. And that's both a perception from the subjective level as well as from objective level of the registrations that are in there, and so they'd like to see data comparing those. I'm not sure that, again, that's the collection of data is something that we would be in a good position to do. it's sent to all of the groups. So it's ICANN, the next CCT, and the PDP working group. So this one, I know I'm going to probably write some clarification questions on this as to what the expectation again is. This is not a prerequisite, but it is something that they would like to see addressed within 18 months following the date of the final report. So just looking at the chat, okay, I see Greg has mentioned that this recommendation sent to everyone. And Trang says, I believe this recommendation requires ICANN to collect the data and provide it to the working group. But the timing may not make sense, or the priority level make sense. So that's certainly something that we can and should be asking a question on. Okay, any other questions, comments on this one? Okay, so while typing's going on, I'll go on to the next one. Okay. Donna says it's a tough one to get data on. Yes, Donna, I agree with that as well. 34, okay, recommendation 34 is, I don't know if that actually says to us, but I thought that was more, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to my hard copy. We're a group included, but it's basically repeat and refine the NSFU study to determine whether the presence of additional registration restrictions correlate to a decrease in abuse in the new GTLDs as compared to new GTLDs that lack registration restrictions as compared to the legacy GTLDs and as compared to legacy GTLDs. This one is high priority, and I think, you know, in terms of the provisions in the background of the section that they refer to, it's really specification 11, and it's not just the new restrictions that are like for what you would think of as a restricted TLD, but also includes the extra category one restrictions that are in certain TLD agreements. Whether that's actually increased the security and having those safeguards has reduced any kind of abuse in the new GTLDs. Just looking at the chat, some feedback going on. Yes, some of these just say PDP working group, and so they it's a question as to whether it's us or RM group. They didn't necessarily know. I would think this one, because it's not dealing with rights protection mechanisms, was probably intended for us, but we can and certainly will try to confirm that for the final recommendations. So then we go on to number 35. Which is basically collecting data on the costs and benefits of having restrictions. And those costs and benefits would include costs to compliance, costs to registrars, costs to registrants, and then, comparing those to existing TLDs and then looking at new GTLDs that have voluntarily included verification validation requirement. This is not a prerequisite, but it is a high priority. And so I think that, again, I understand for this one why ICANN, the future CCT review needs to be included on this. Comparing the collection of data as this recommendation is, not sure whether that's really something intended for us. Potentially the analysis of that data and whether to have restrictions might be for us, but the mere collection of data wouldn't really be meant for us. So I think we should ask a clarification question in line with what Michael was saying is, you know, what are the expectations for our group if we take on this recommendation?
And Trang makes a comment that all of the data collection is directed at ICANN.org.
Yes. Thank you, Trang. Moving on to number 36, this one talks about gathering or getting public comments on the impact of the GPLD registration restrictions on competition, to include whether these restrictions have created undue preferences. And going back and reading these recommendations, this seems to be the registration restrictions that are included in Spec 11, namely the restrictions with regard to sensitive strains, highly regulated strains. And reading the background, it seems to refer to those types of strains. But we need to do some research. The term undue preferences came out of the GAC communiques in Beijing, Buenos Aires, and Singapore, I believe. They use this term. But when they use the term from those communiques, when the GAC uses those terms, usually refers to an undue preference in favor of certain registrants or in favor of certain registrars. So that's really where the competition comes in. So what is the impact? So I think it's asking, what is the impact of new GPLD registration restrictions on competition to include whether these restrictions have caused GPLDs to favor certain registrars or certain registrants unduly, meaning without any good reason. I got that background more from reading the communiques.
There's a comment from Christina. A comment from Christina that says Rec 36 seems inconsistent with Recommendation 14. Am I misunderstanding?
So in this one, thanks. This is Jeff Newman. It's a good question. So in Recommendation 14, it was looking at meeting expectations of trust, whereas this recommendation by undue, with the word undue in this one, refers to the communiques from the GAC about creating basically unjustified. I would use the word unjustified instead of undue, but whether it's causing registries to unjustifiably favor certain registrants over others or unjustifiably favor certain registrars over other registrars. So in a way, is that having an impact on competition? So you're right, though, it is, Christina, it's very – we need some clarity on this. It took me a couple steps to reread the report and to reread some of the communiques get that out of the word undo. I think we should verify that my interpretation is consistent with what they were thinking, because I could be completely off. It wouldn't be the first time, but the word undo is used several times in communiques from the GAC. We need more clarity on what this is from Greg Chatton. We need more clarity on what the restrictions on competition are. Yeah, so thanks, Greg. And again, this I think refers to the notion of certain TLBs. I think behind the GAC communiques in Beijing and Singapore and Buenos Aires potentially, I think the GAC was worried about that there were these restrictions in top-level domains that essentially created closed TLDs, which favored certain registrants over other registrants that were unjustified, or there was no real good reason to have those. So that, I think, is the background, but I think a lot of clarification, as your comments and others point out, is needed on this one. And this one is labeled a high priority. Now, 38, recommendation 38, is dealing with the PICs, the voluntary PICs, and the background for this one, which is a prerequisite, which was explained by Jordan and some other members of the CCTRV team, was that the CCTRV team was trying to evaluate the PICs and whether they had any increase in, whether they have any relation to increasing the trust of the TLD or the competition. And because they didn't understand the rationale behind why certain TLDs had agreed to these picks, that they couldn't really determine whether these picks were effective. Now, putting aside that many TLDs added these picks because they felt like they were forced to, otherwise the GAC would provide advice. They were afraid the GAC would provide advice rejecting their TLDs. Putting that aside, I think between this question and the next one, which is 39, really go out to the extent that we do have PICs or something like PICs in the next application window, which is a big assumption. But if we do have that, that we should make sure that there's, if you look at question 39, that there's enough time so that those PICs can be reviewed by the community and the GAC so that objections can be filed or the GAC can provide advice and there's enough time, but also provide a mechanism so those PICs can be reviewed by the next CCT review team so that there should be, you know, not only these are my PICs, but these are why I'm having PICs and this is why I think these picks would address whatever issues it's meant to address. So that's what I got out of reading the report and also discussions from the CCT review team. These are prerequisites. So to the extent, and I clarified with the CCT review team, but we should probably do this in writing, that they're not mandating that we have, quote, picked the next application window and beyond. If we do have something like PICT, then these two recommendations should be followed, if that makes sense. So Christina says, is the CCT effectively recommending that voluntary PICT should not be permitted, if not included in the original application? Christina, that's a really good question. I don't think they're recommending that. And in fact, there's another... there's another, maybe it's not a CCT review team recommendation, but it's a question submitted by the GAC, and one that we do need to consider is, what if there is advice that's provided? Is there a way to amend applications to address that as opposed to putting the GAC in a position to just accept or, provide advice against it? Greg says, this refers to voluntary PICs, in quotation marks, so we wouldn't be mandating them necessarily. Good point, Greg. But both of these should be, we should seek clarity in our comments back to the CCT review team. Okay, recommendation 39 we already talked about. Recommendation 43, which is on slide 10, refers to, and this actually, we did have some considerable discussion in ICANN 58 in that working session that we had, but it's really to set objectives for applications from the Global South, which also includes defining what is the Global South, and they're basically recommending that we need to establish clear goals, measurable goals, and although the recommendation says we should establish measurable goals in terms of number of applications, even number of delegated strings, the explanation we got from the review team was that they weren't necessarily looking for an actual number or percentage of applications that came from the Global South, but more just some way that the next CCT review team could assess whether the objectives of having our outreach or having a Global South program or a financial program, whether it meets whether the program meets the goals. And so they're trying to figure out ways in which they can, in the future, measure whether having these programs are a good idea or are effective. So this is going to be, I think, a very difficult one for us to tackle. Certainly I would like to get recommendations from them in writing, or I would like to make a comment in writing as to what they mean by measurable goals, because what they say in writing in this recommendation and what they told us in person were two different things. And as Donna says, we can set objectives, but that doesn't mean that they will be met. And I agree with that, Donna. My fear is always, though, if we set objectives and it doesn't meet those objectives, the gut reaction by many people is to say that it's been a failure. And I'm not sure that failing to meet the objectives is necessarily a failure, but it just could be we set our objectives too high or maybe even too low. So Christina has in the chat, does, quote, needs to equal should in the must, should, may scheme. Great question, Christina. I'm not sure. Yes, so they do include the word should. So I do think that's something we should get clarity on as well. That's a good comment. Okay, next recommendation, 46. This is a recommendation to revisit the applicant support program. They make the comment that that the cost of applying for TLD and running a new TLD is a lot more than just $185,000. And so one of the recommendations, beyond efforts to reduce the application fee, efforts should be made to further reduce the overall cost of the application, including additional subsidies and dedicated support for underserved communities. This is set as a prerequisite and is already a subject that is within work track one. If someone correct me if I'm wrong, I believe it's work track one. So I think our comment on this one is that this topic is something that we're considering. And Christina points out a great comment as well. There's inconsistent terminology. Some places they call it Global South, and some places it's underserved. And we should put in a comment asking whether those two terms are interchangeable or whether there's a difference in meaning or a difference in – if there's a meaningful difference in using those two different terms. So we will definitely get a comment on that. Going back to the chat, Michael makes a comment that we are limited in looking at costs that are outside the scope of ICANN. I really think we are limited at looking at costs that are outside the scope of ICANN. Back-end costs are determined by the provider. So just to respond to that, and this was pointed out by the CCT review team during one of the open sessions, which I had forgotten about, but at one point in time, ICANN did, I think it was like in 2011, asked registries whether those registries would like to be included on a list to provide support to underserved communities. I'm not sure the term that was used at that point in time. But it was basically like if registries were interested in participating in the program, provide other forms of support, would they be interested? And as Jonathan Zuck and others pointed out, there was a list of a number of registries that volunteered for this, but no one ever – there was nothing done with that list. ICANN never there's a question as to why, whether I can actually refer any communities or any applicants to these registries. I could speak, you know, on behalf of one of the registries at the time that I was with. We had our name on that list, but no one ever contacted us to ask us what services we could provide or would provide and at what cost. So I think that was that may have been a case where the ball was dropped or just not followed up on. And so that's another thing, Michael, that may not be outside of ICANN's mandate. Good discussion here on the terms being used on the chat. Michael says, being willing to subsidize or volunteer to do so is different than price regulation. I agree. Michael, there are different things, sure. Looking at some of the other comments, Krista says the cost of a back end could be associated with the application in this case. Okay, so some good comments from the chat that we're capturing. More to the substance of the questions as opposed to asking clarity. Keep those comments coming because we will collect all of these. Cognizant of the time. Recommendation 47 is dealing with as required by the bylaws, the recent bylaws. GAC consensus advice to the board regarding GTLD should also be clearly enunciated, actionable. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in this one, they are looking to see whether we could create more structure to the process for the GAC to provide advice and early warnings and possibly even a template of how that advice is provided. And so that's what really the CT or V team is expecting of the subsequent procedures working group. There are other recommendations. The other part of that recommendation is really intended for the GAC to make sure that whatever advice they give is actionable and so that there's no misunderstandings or a few misunderstandings as possible between the GAC and the board when their advice is implemented. Fang has a comment that goes actually back to number 46, which is ICANN did not play matchmaker. It only provided the forum for those wishing to provide pro bono services and was looking for them to be listed. Certainly the program could be evolved. Right, thanks, Trang. And I think one of the items that some of us just don't have any information on was, did anyone contact ICANN and did ICANN then refer them to the list? And I guess a question to the registries that are on that list, did anyone contact them? It's something for us to look into. Trang says not directly. Okay. So thanks, Trang. That's helpful. Okay, recommendation 48. This is something that we're actually already doing, so I think it'll be an easy comment for us. But it's basically to make sure that we review the community process for community-based applications, that we address the concerns that have been raised by different groups and making sure that it's clearly, that any changes are clearly stated and reflected in the next version of the guidebook. Christina asks, which concerns is the CCT referencing? And if I remember correctly, in the full report, it talks about some of the concerns pointed out by the act in various advice that they were giving to the board in different communiques. But we have to go back and maybe pull that out of the full report, make sure that we do understand what they mean by concern. And even if it's in there, Christina, it's something that we may still want to ask questions on because it may still not be clear. Okay, 49, recommendation 49, which I believe, again, are things that we are already discussing and addressing, are really around the string similarity, the inconsistent results for string confusion. And so that deals with plurals and singulars, coming up with clearer processes and appeal processes, et cetera, for these types of disputes going forward. I think this is one that we certainly have a good handle on, at least that we're addressing. And then finally, moving on to recommendation 50, which is a low priority level and which I would actually suggest is not really or shouldn't really be for us, because by the time this comes up, it's probably not something that we as a group, we may not even be around as a group at this point, but it calls for a thorough review of dispute resolutions on all objections should be carried out prior to the next CCT review. So while we as a group are looking at a number of these objections and trying to pull out issues from them, that's not really the kind of review that the CCT review team is looking for. They're looking for really kind of a catalog of all the decisions made, all the objections received, and really making the job easier for the next CCT review team. And Michael says, is this the only low priority? And he agrees that as a prerequisite PDP to the subpro itself, all of our core recommendations would be high or higher, which is true. Christina is typing, can we persuade some law student somewhere to write a law review article that covers recommendation 50? Christina, I would love to be able to do that. I think that had come up once before. I think we had asked ICANN staff to potentially look into that, getting maybe an intern or two in the DC office or actually anywhere where there's law schools to do this. That's something we'll certainly look into. I think it's a great idea, and if I were back in law school, maybe something, or a professor, maybe something I would do. Okay. Aubrey, with that, let me give it back to you.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for walking through. We have 10 minutes left, but I have a question on two questions on this, which is, when do we need to have these clarification questions to them? And how do we plan to go about assembling them? We've talked about some questions here, and they could probably be extracted. But does anybody have an idea? Because I don't have a clear understanding of when the clarification questions need to be based on their schedule of when they plan to release this draft. And I'm wondering if anybody's got that info. And I see Michael's hand up. Do you have an answer to this?
I think more sort of suggestion. I think that it would just be really healthy to, rather than sending a written request for clarification for every single question, I think it would be more beneficial if we just reach out to the CCTRT team and ask them to come and perhaps present the materials. To provide background, as Greg earlier stated. A lot of the clarifications that we are seeking are probably in the background within the report itself. And while we could read the 130-page report ourselves, having that solidated or short presentation that kind of answers those questions, allows time for the questions, I think would provide us with a lot of feedback as to what we actually need to look for. And then the other suggestion would be the expectations that we need to set are something that is rather hot that we do need the clarification on. I'm not sure. I don't really feel that that's in the current report itself now, but I could be mistaken.
Thank you. Jeff?
Yeah, a little bit of, thanks, this is Jeff Newman, just a little bit of, to modify Michael's answer. I think we should get members of the CCTRV team, and that might just be Jonathan or any others that want to come maybe for the next full group meeting. But I do think that once we get the background, I do think that we need to put our request for clarity, not on context, but for clarity in the questions themselves. I do think we need to put that in writing, and I do think those go in as our, quote, comments to the CCT review team so that they can make it more clear in the final report. Because really that's what we're asking for, is that if they could add some more detail to clarify this for us in the final report. So I wouldn't spend too much time with the CCT review team asking them for oral clarity other than background, but more submitting requests for clarity as part of the public comment so that it comes back in the final report. Because, again, clarity from one person on the CCT review team, even if it's Jonathan, may be very different than clarity from others that were involved in the drafting of the report.
This is Aubrey. Noticed that when we were in that meeting with them, that they don't all have the same viewpoint on what they've written, which is fairly normal. Okay. Any other comments on this before we move on? We have very little time left in this meeting, so really not going to do more than mention the last topic. So the last topic has to do with CC1 and our three drafting teams. I don't assume any of the drafting teams, let me just name them again. There was the one on different TLD types. There's the one on predictability and community engagement. And then there's the one on applications assessed in rounds as their brief topics. Now, the first one has basically 10 people signed up plus Jeff and I. The second topic has one person signed up plus Jeff and I. And the last one, I think, has 6, if I remember correctly, signed up plus Jeff and I. So at least with 1 and 3, there's a good number of people to get started, but I don't think we have yet. So I want to make sure that these don't get lost and people can be working in the background. They don't have to meet a lot, but we do need to get going with those. So I'm not sure what we need. Do we need for us to assign at least one introductory meeting for each so that we can talk through, so that we can find out who wants to be a lead editor on the drafting team? We'd really like the drafting teams to sort of self-organize, as I've seen many drafting teams do recently, to get the work done, but need to get it kicked off. And it's been, I think, over a month now that we've been sort of had these sign-ups. Maybe not quite that long, but it really is time to get going on them. So I don't know if anybody has any recommendations, but I'll also bring the question to the leadership team in our next meeting to see how we get this process going. And if there's anybody in those teams that's really eager to be a lead editor and willing to just jump in and start developing a draft, be happy to see that too. Sort of, first person that puts words down doesn't necessarily get to keep the words, but often has a strong pull on how something gets worded. So I encourage anybody that's really interested in these topics to jump in, and we can at least start the three drive documents for them so that there is a place to start. Steve, I see your hand.
Thanks, Avi. This is Steve Chan from Steph. And so I just wanted to confirm that none of the these drafting teams have started their work, but we have created a mailing list for all three of them. They haven't been populated, but we can get those populated very quickly. And so what I can offer is that we can send around a kickoff email. We can also take into account what you just suggested, which is to create the Google documents. And then we can at least create the form for these groups to begin their work. And so, you know, they're not required to work in all the same ways, so maybe they'll discover different ways to get their work done. But in the meantime, I thought we could just get the kickoff email sent, and hopefully that would get the work initiated. Thanks.
Thank you so much. I gratefully accept your offer. To sort of kick off the mailing list and create the drive documents. Okay, we've got 3 minutes left. Any comments on that? I see no comments. Any other business at this point? I see none. I see Cheryl is typing, but maybe she's just typing the goodbye message. And, okay, seeing no hands, hearing no voices, it was a pleasure meeting with you all again this evening after having seen so many of you in Copenhagen, and I thank you, and I end the meeting. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.